Please.
Okay. One other quick notice before we start the service. Those of you who don't know, Andrea's dad passed away this week. So please uphold Andrea, her brother Peter, and her mum Margaret in your prayers, please. Right. Because events have changed this week, and we have had lost the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. We're joining with all the Anglican churches in having an act of reflection and commemoration as part of the service. So the service is basically going to be in two parts, and we're just going to start with a time of reflection before we begin our worship. Mark has recorded this because he is at Hockering and East Tuddenham.
We're beginning our act of worship this morning with a short reflection and prayer on the life of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, and prayers for the Queen and royal family. For me, and I suspect most of us here, Prince Philip has always been that presence behind the Queen at state occasions, usually about 2 foot behind the Queen, and usually silent, sometimes controversial. And of course, that remembering of Prince Philip in that way is very important, because that is how he saw his primary role, that of supporting the Queen in the calling which she was fulfilling as Queen. First, second, and last, as he put it in his own words. Supporting her, encouraging her, taking some of the load for her in ways which most of us were probably completely unaware. And only occasionally did we in public see the affection, the support that they had for one another. But of course, that wasn't the only way that he served. He also served through the many, many patronages of charities and other things, the support he gave to those in the armed forces, and of course, the charities, particularly for young people and conservation, which he established or which he championed through his life. He, as somebody who had been used to doing things, wanted to use his role to do things that would make a difference. And both of these elements, the supporting his wife and their faithful marriage over 73 years, and also the supporting and serving the nation through charities, were both connected for him in his deep, if traditionally expressed, Christian faith. He was a man with a keen mind and a keen understanding of theology, and he wanted the church to thrive and express that in different ways. And so today, as we come together for our worship, as we remember with thanksgiving his life, and as we pray for the Queen and those for whom his loss will be personal, yet also we can give thanks because in this season of Easter, we have that resurrection hope. So I'm going to do now two things. We're going to do two things. Firstly, I'm going to lead us in prayer using the official prayers from the service of commemoration for the Duke of Edinburgh. Then we're going to have the national anthem, and then we're going to carry on with our act of worship, because our act of worship is a celebration of that hope in Jesus, that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and we have that hope together as his people, a hope which we share with Prince Philip and with the Queen and with other members of the royal family. But now let us pray. Merciful Father and Lord of all life, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, for the love he received from you and showed among us. Above all, we rejoice at your gracious promise to all your servants, living and departed, that we shall rise again at the coming of Christ. And we ask that in due time, we may share with your servant Philip that clearer vision promised to us in the same Christ our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with all who mourn, the members of the royal family, this nation, and all the nations of the Commonwealth, that casting all our care on you, we may know the consolation of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the national anthem.
And forever.
As Mark said, we share the same resurrection hope of His Royal Highness, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. And so we continue and we celebrate that resurrection hope today. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us as His own.
He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We sing how deep the Father's love for us.
How great the pain of searing loss, the fire. turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man.
In the knowledge that Jesus has paid our ransom, let us confess our sins. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Like the disciples, behind locked doors, we are afraid to be seen as your followers. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May God, who so loved the world that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We now sing All I Once Held Dear.
All I once held
Now we have the special prayer for the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now Jenny Marie is going to bring us our readings.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was put upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from John. It's John chapter 20, verses 19 to the end. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you will teach us something from your word today. In the name of Jesus, amen. My sermon today is going to be in two parts, looking at both of our readings. So if you have them handy, that would be helpful. So that was Acts 4, 32 to 35, and John 20, 19 to the end of the chapter. But my sermon has changed over the week with the passing of Prince Philip on Friday. I realised when I watched a documentary about his life on Friday evening that I didn't really know much about Prince Philip. For me, he had been that person who walked a few paces behind the Queen, who was there and occasionally said some controversial things. And I also knew about his driving and sportsmanship and obviously the Duke of Edinburgh Award. But the things I learnt which I didn't know included that he had come to the UK as a refugee and that he had had such a distinguished career as a naval officer. I didn't know that he had four sisters who had all married German royalty, and as a consequence, he was estranged from them for a number of years. I also didn't know that his mother started a Greek Orthodox religious order. But most striking of all was the fact, as I said earlier, and as Mark said, we have been told that he had a very deep Christian faith. I decided that I was already going to talk about how we encounter the risen Jesus, but it made me think about Prince Philip's own encounter with the Lord. Her Majesty said in an interview that was shown that Prince Philip was her constant strength and guide. So it certainly appears that Philip had encountered Jesus and as such had a calling to lay aside his naval career when his wife became queen, and to devote his life to supporting her and to a life of service. In our gospel reading from John, we see two different encounters with the risen Jesus. Firstly, we find the disciples together on that first Easter day, locked away because they were so scared of the Jewish leaders. They feared for their own lives. We have slightly different accounts in the four Gospels, but in John, we know that Mary Magdalene had encountered the risen Jesus at the tomb, and she had come and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he was ascending to the Father. Peter and John had also witnessed the empty tomb. But despite these things, they were still unable to believe. Perhaps their fear and confusion were too great. And we don't know why Thomas wasn't with them. Perhaps it was his turn to sneak out and get provisions. After all, one disciple alone would draw less attention. But while Thomas isn't there, Jesus appears to the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his wounds, proving who he is. And they were overjoyed. He then commissions them and breathes on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They are anointed. It's equally as important as what happens in a greater measure at Pentecost, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Their encounter with the risen Jesus brings them peace and joy, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And the peace and joy brings them some hope too. They too have seen the Lord. In the midst of their fear and confusion, there is a message of peace, the peace that we can all experience when we encounter Jesus at any time, even in those times when we have great fear. The much maligned Thomas, the disciple who has had such a bad press since, and given his title the Doubting Thomas, which is used as a derogatory term, isn't there. But when he returns, they tell him what's happened. But he says he won't believe until he has actually seen Jesus himself and touched Jesus's wounds. Thomas needs a different encounter with the risen Jesus. He wants to see and feel for himself. And we find a week later, Jesus gives Thomas this opportunity and he believes. And in his expression of belief, Thomas is the first person to acknowledge Jesus as God. Perhaps he should be renamed Believing Thomas. We all need to encounter the risen Jesus, and we have different needs and expectations of those encounters. We know that people come to faith in different ways. There are those of us who can name a specific time, and there are those for whom it's a more gradual process of realization and acceptance. Some of you will have followed the Live Lent series that talked about people encountering Jesus and how we could help people to encounter him, and how different the stories of coming to faith are. But the significant factor in all these encounters with Jesus are that they bring God's peace and the Holy Spirit, and this brings joy and hope. For myself, I now recognize this was how I first encountered Jesus. Some of you will know that as a teenager, I started to go to church at a local Baptist church. It was on the pretext to see my boyfriend, because he went to the Baptist church and also went to the youth club. So I used to go along to the youth club on a Friday evening, but in order to see him a little bit more frequently, I started to go to the evening service. And I was struck by a strange feeling in that Baptist church. For me, my thoughts of church had always been hard pews, hymns that I wouldn't be able to sing. And those of you who know, I can't sing. So it was always, my thought was, it'll be, you know, traditional services, hard pews, songs and hymns that you can't sing, and things that I wouldn't understand. And when I got there, I found it wasn't like that at all. And I've said to people before, there was something about the people in that church. They had something. And I can now see that it was that peace from God and a joy. I say I didn't really understand it, and I attended the church for about 2 months, and a guest preacher came to the evening service, and I can't tell you now what he said, but at the end of the service he invited people to join in a prayer to invite Jesus into their lives. And I didn't know why, but it all began to make sense to me. And so I said that prayer. And my life changed from that point on. And I knew what it was to have God's peace and joy. And some of you will have read about Libby's father, Reg, and his encounter with the risen Jesus in our Easter booklet, where Reg felt the physical touch of Jesus when he was at the altar. Both Reg and I had a different encounter, but for both of us, it was the encounter that we needed. Which brings me neatly to the second part of my sermon, where we look at the early church. Just going to reread that passage. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that they had any possessions of their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What a wonderful picture of the early church, caring and sharing, making sure that there was no one in need, truly looking after each other. What they did with their money and possessions provided a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. It showed clearly what sort of community they were, and it was in sharp contrast to the temple authorities, and perhaps a sharp contrast to us. Well, I can say that we have experienced this as a family. During a time when Rod was unemployed and our children were small and I wasn't working, we came home twice to find envelopes stuffed with money on our doormat. We never knew who had been so generous, but we know that it could only have come from someone from our church family. We've also experienced similar generosity a few years ago when we were in need, and we received some supermarket vouchers from an anonymous member of our church family here. And I know that there are people here today who have given generously of their time, shopping for others, giving lifts to medical appointments, running errands during the pandemic. And once the restrictions are lifted, we will all be able to offer more hospitality to our church families. My concern is that we can become too inward looking. Church family supporting church family. But that's what it says in the passage, I hear you say. That is true, but I'd like you to draw attention to the seemingly hidden verse, which could easily be left out and the passage would still make sense. That's verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The caring for the needy among them was only part of their expression of their encounter with the risen Jesus. They continued to testify to the resurrection. They continued to tell others about the risen Jesus. Just as Jesus had said to the disciples in the locked room when they appeared to them, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." They were doing exactly that. From the grace they had received so powerfully, from the peace and joy they'd experienced, they were continuing to spread the gospel. They needed the Holy Spirit to do this, and that's why Jesus had breathed on them, to give them the power to carry out their mission. They were helping others to encounter the risen Jesus. Jesus' resurrection has brought salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and they are taking that message to others so that they can be saved, so they can meet with Jesus and experience him for themselves, that they can have their sins forgiven. Although they might not see Jesus with their own eyes, they can still encounter him and believe. Just as Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So what about us? As the restrictions lift and we return to our own churches and our lives take on a more of a familiar look, will we concentrate on looking inwards as individual church families or as a benefice church family? Hopefully, we will be witnesses by the way that we share and care for each other, by the way we demonstrate the peace of God, just as that Baptist congregation witnessed to me. But are we prepared to look outwards, to share our stories, to tell others about our encounters with the risen Jesus, and help them to encounter the risen Jesus themselves, so they can experience the resurrection life that he offers? This is our faith, the same faith held by Prince Philip, and it begins with an encounter. And if you're listening and you feel that you have never encountered the risen Jesus, please do contact me or one of the staff team, and we would love to talk to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we need to experience the risen Jesus, to experience your peace and your joy, to experience the forgiveness of our sins, and to have a resurrection life with you. Lord, help us to share this resurrection life with others. Amen. We're now going to sing Servant King. And give your life
that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our life as a daily offering of worship to the servant King.
There in the garden of tears, my heavy load He chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but Yours He said.
This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. Come see His hands and His feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our enthrone Him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. The servant.
Now we declare that resurrection faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead.
On the third day, He rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
and the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now let's share the peace with one another, the peace that Jesus brings when we encounter him. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." They were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to put yourself on gallery view and wave, have a wave to everybody.
Peace be with you.
Anyway.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Yeah. I'm moving.
We now sing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." We think about looking for our risen Lord. Now Sue is going to lead us in our prayers.
Let's pray. Our time together this morning has been a mixture of quiet reflection and thankful praise. At Easter, we celebrate the joy of the resurrection and the life changes that that brings. Hope for the here and now, and for eternity. Death no longer has a hold on us. It's not the end, but a new beginning. We heard of the joy of the first disciples as they encountered the risen Jesus, and how it transformed their lives. It was a reality then, and it's a reality today. Lord, we are so privileged to be yours. And that invitation is for all. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, and wherever we are. We ask that this morning that we allow ourselves to encounter you either for the first time or afresh. For you to be the centre and all we live for. We ask that in the joy of what we receive, we will reach out to share it with others as you've instructed us. all the wonderful earthly things we enjoy are good, but they're fleeting. Help us to look and build our lives on something more solid and lasting, to build our lives on knowing you more. Come and help us to understand more of what you want for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
This last year has been hard and difficult for many of us. Losing loved ones, struggling with separation, anxiety about health, finances, and general well-being. We come to you, Lord, as we are now, all in our frailty, and we ask for your strength and your help. We think this morning of all who have lost loved ones. Many hearts in our nation are mourning the loss of His Royal Highness Prince Philip with sadness today. Here was a man who spent his life in the service of his nation and with generous love and support to his family. We give you thanks for him, for the strength and stay he's been to our Queen, for his faith and trust in you and how that has shaped his life and his decisions. We pray especially this morning for Elizabeth, our Queen, and her close family for the days ahead. Lord, we pray for your peace and compassion to be upon them and give them, Lord, what they need at this difficult time. Bring healing, unity and love and peace. May they trust you with their future as you guide and direct them. We also know many close to us who in the past days and months have lost loved ones dear to them. We think this week especially of Andrea and her family in the loss of her dad, John. Thank you for his life of faith and commitment to you. And thank you that he is now with you. We also pray for the family of Peter Bennett, losing him in such tragic circumstances. Please, Lord, be with these dear people and all those who are known to us, who need your love and peace poured on them at the moment. Can we just spend a moment reflecting and bring to God those who we know who are grieving, who are ill, or who are waiting for results on their health? And we ask God to shed his light into their darkness. Bring them through, Lord. Walk with them in their dark days. Shine your love through their grief and sorrow. May they find new hope. Bring them into an ever-increasing relationship with you, Lord. May they find comfort in knowing you. Understand their grief, knowing that you understand their grief and pain, because you've experienced the same. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, you want to be involved in every aspect of our lives. You want to be there to lead us and teach us. Help us to be open to that. We pray for our government and the leaders of all our nations that you will, by your power, help them to work together for the good of all, to help relieve suffering and injustice. Lord, we pray for peace to return to areas of unrest. And we especially bring you this morning, Northern Ireland, that there will not be a prolonged turn back to the hatred, insecurity, and mistrust. Bring healing, Lord, in the hearts and minds of those who need it. And bring to justice those who work to stir up trouble and unrest. Give strength and wisdom to those working for peace and unity. And Jesus, we ask that you draw men to you, to know you and encounter you afresh. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we give you thanks for all who work to make the good news that Jesus brought known to everyone. We thank you for our pastors and leaders, for our hospital and prison chaplains, for those who serve faithfully week by week in churches throughout the world, proclaiming the message of peace, love, and forgiveness that you brought. We think of our dear friends, Derek and Paula, in their missionary work. We pray for your provision for them. We pray for protection around them and to be their strength in difficult situations. Show us how to support them in all ways and give them the assurance that they are part of your whole worldwide family, serving you in different parts of the world. We are all called to be your witnesses in how we live our lives. Give us the grace and perseverance to carry through what roles you have given each of us to fulfill. May we just spend a moment now reflecting on all we've listened to this morning in our readings and our songs and in Mel's talk about encountering Jesus for ourselves and helping others to see him. Let's make ourselves available to Jesus and ask him to challenge and encourage us to seek him and to make him the priority in our lives. And so, Lord, may we go out with joy and serve you and those around us. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Are we joined together now in saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And we have our final prayer. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
He has defeated the powers of death.
Hallelujah.
Jesus turns our sorrow into dancing.
Hallelujah.
He has the words of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
And now the blessing. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life.
Amen.
God the Son, who is bursting from the grave, has won a glorious victory. Give you joy as you share the Easter faith.
Amen.
God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and those whom we love, and remain with us always.
Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve our risen Lord, in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Before our final hymn of worship, may I invite you to join us for breakout groups for coffee and fellowship after the service. If you are unable to join us, do pray that you have a blessed week. And thank you for joining us today. And as Alan said, when we know what's happening next week, we will be letting you all know. So we sing a final hymn of triumph. To God be the glory. Wishing you every blessing for the week. I hope some of you will be able to join us for coffee. See you in 5 minutes.